Hi, everybody. This is Scorpio's talking. Hi, everybody. This is Scorpio's talking. I had a little trouble getting in. I got a busy signal. This is Ann Ortley broadcasting from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I'm the astrologer on Scorpio's Talking, and I'm joined by my friend Michael.
Hello. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I'm a psychotherapist in Hudson, New York, and in New York City.
All right, so we had a little Mercury retrograde. Michael wanted to start at 10:15. I said, okay. Blog Talk Radio says, no, only on the hour and the half hour. And then I tried dialing in, and I had, 5 minutes of busy. So, and then it finally let me in, and I'm like, all right, it's exciting. Mercury retrograde. My freezer stopped freezing. My assistant dropped her cell phone down the sewer. It's a Mercury retrograde kind of thing. And, Michael, what's been happening to you around communications, transportations, and fun stuff like that?
Communication, very difficult communication, complex communication. So I needed to really pay attention and stay connected to myself and figure out very slowly where I stood with regard to solving some sticky problems so that I was in serious relationship with myself, regardless of anybody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been slow unfolding, kind of.
Okay. That's kind of cool. And you've been talking to people.
Huh?
You've been talking to people, but it's been a little weird.
Well, there have been really tricky situations that have come up. And I have no choice but to engage with them. So I needed to deal with how I felt about the fact of them first and get rid of that emotion and then address it and see, what do I do?
Right.
So that's that. With clients, I just had a client, and I basically spewed. It was the equivalent of an artist setting up his palette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put out, every color I could think of and said, let's try some of this and report back to me what works and what doesn't. So, it's complicated stuff is the point.
Yep.
And for me, it means paying absolutely no attention to what's going on in the news.
Oh, okay. Because it's too much energetically flying around.
It's just that it means nothing.
The news means nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, so at least last time I looked, nothing. It's like going shoe shopping and finding the ugliest pair of shoes and then spending the afternoon asking the guy if to continue to bring out every color. And they're not going to get prettier.
Right.
And they're the wrong size.
And, and they pinched your toes.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no point in paying attention, I don't think.
Right. Yeah.
Not right this second.
Not right this second. It's too much wild going on. Yeah. Well, it's also eclipse season, which makes everybody bring up all sorts of old emotional stuff, especially from February of 16, which is a year ago, and last November. And then it's Uranus station today, and Uranus is the planet of chaos and change. So when he stops in the sky, it's always kind of a big deal. And then tomorrow is the last, there's the third of three Jupiter-Pluto squares, and Jupiter's abundance and Pluto's transformation. So it's kind of, there's just, as you said, there's a lot going on, but it isn't necessarily you have to kind of scan the horizon because there's no single level of focus. And when you're scanning, there's a lot of incoming. And on some level, with the eclipse on Monday, it's very emotional. And it ties back to, as I said, February of 16 and then to last November, November 7th. So it's interesting energies. I think it is behooving all of us to just kind of, as much as possible, you know, your thing about being curious and sitting in stillness and kind of watching, you know, because you have to kind of take it all in and not reacting right away, but just kind of watching what's going on can help
a lot. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a massive amount of incoming, right?
Yeah.
So I got hugely triggered by something. And I was very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't angry. I noticed as much as I could about it. I wasn't angry at the person who created it. I wasn't angry at the person who was feeding it. I was simply really angry. So I remembered that if there are only two emotions, love and fear, there was fear.
Mm-hmm.
I also sat with it, and I could hardly contain my body. I was just so full of this. I wasn't in any way retaliatory. I wasn't in any way anything. I was just feeling it. And it took a while before a while meaning like a day and a half before there was enough space to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would try to read, and it was hard.
To even concentrate.
Yeah, and I picked a book that was kind of even with where I was at, which was a ridiculous book about stopping terrorist attack. You know, one of those, you know, written by an ex-Navy SEAL kind of things. Mm-hmm. And what happened is it felt like something that happened to me when I was growing up. And I went, oh, that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that happened is I got an urge to call a colleague, and he gave me a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And once I had that, the whole thing, I was very clear about what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed more than I had available inside of me. But I had to be really careful not to distract myself with other bullshit going on the planet.
Right.
Because there was nothing I could do to affect it at that moment,
mm-hmm.
except make sure that my frequency was back up and
right.
that my heart was open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that.
Mm.
So it's, you know, I think for each of us, it's what's our particular job right now.
Right, right.
It's not sitting back so much and watching. It's trying to figure out, like, what does the universe want me, what does God want me to do right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And leave the rest alone.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's, like, you know those hysterical traffic jams where there's an accident on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
And it really slows down
everything
the side you're in because
mm-hmm.
everybody wants to watch. It's
right.
There's no point to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not helping anybody, and it's taking away from you.
Right. But it also is, if you do have to watch, no, come here. We have bells on everybody. We're trying a new thing. They said for blind cats, everybody gets bells because then the blind cat can hear them coming. So everybody got bells yesterday, and we're having a lot of reactions here in the house because it's a change in structure for sure, and there's different reactions to having a bell around your neck depending on who you are. So, but it's supposed to help the blind cat feel less stressed. That's the plan. So that's why I'm watching, because it's like, okay, what are we all doing here with bells in there? I don't have one, but maybe I should wear one to be part of the team. Bell around my collar. So my world is people are really, to your point, really reacting. And I've been saying to them, you know, Michael's advice, pay attention, be curious, but don't necessarily do anything until you have a clear path of action, because it's there's a desire to do something, anything.
Yeah.
Eclipses trigger that. I must, as opposed to, what actually is a good action to take. Rather,
that's
you know, like to your point,
is,
I had no space to react out of anything but fear or anger. Well, anger, which you go, is either fear or love, so it's fear. And then you go, okay, let me get the space. And then you got a step, and then that helped you figure out the rest of the path. And,
right,
it, and
that,
I think
that is
caution.
That,
mm-hmm.
But that was imbued with, I got to do something, I can't stand feeling like this.
Right.
But the thing, so the question is, what is it that I have to do?
Right.
And for me, it was, you need to sit in this until it moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then going, can I ask again later?
Can I have a better answer?
Yeah, really. But that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me, I mean, this hasn't happened before, but it's the third time in a month that I've had something like this, mm-hmm. where it's been multiple days of sitting in deeply uncomfortable
please.
Emotion that has taken over my entire screen. Two of them were terror and one was anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly learned a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a fun time.
No.
But I'm getting a lot done.
Yes.
And it's it's getting real stuff done, like
mm-hmm.
inside of me.
Yeah. Yeah, this is big, big shifting. Nodes are Fader in Leo. So Leo is what's our heart math? And for you, that's a foundation issue. It's fourth house. It's pre-verbal. Doesn't have words. Big emotional space. And very much tied to early childhood stuff, but also tied to what the heart path is and what the... You know what the tribe is. You know what's your tribe. Where is it you want to be? You know, how do you feel secure and safe with your tribe? How do you feel secure and safe with your direction? And all of us have Leo somewhere in our chart. I have it in the seventh house. So one of my jobs as an astrologer is to listen to people and reflect what their chart is saying to them, but not my job to tell them what to do, right? But I got all these, and I don't normally have clients doing that with me. Tell me what I should do. And this past couple of weeks, I've had a lot of people going, tell me what I should do. And I'm like, that's not my job. This is your heart's choice. I can lay out what I see. I can give you information on it, but you're the one that has to make the choice. You know, I have seven people thinking of calling off the wedding. That's a lot of people. But I'm also like, if you say to me, should I marry this guy or not, that's not my decision. I can say to you what you need to do energetically to figure out if you should marry this guy or girl. In two cases, I have guys. Five cases, I have girls. That's not my decision to make. I'm not supposed to be your authority. I'm supposed to be your person you call, and I say, this is what the heavens are doing in your chart. You figure it out. I'll say you can go left, you can go right. These are the different choices. You know, the guy, you know, this is where the detour is. This is where the best grocery store is. And up ahead, this is when you're going to know what you want. So what I've resorted to doing is saying, well, when's your next payment due? and you need to decide by then because, you know, you put money down and when do you have to pay again? And one woman goes, well, maybe I'll get married for a year and then get divorced. And I'm like, well, that's a plan. I said, but if you're going in knowing you're going to divorce him in a year, you know, do you really want to spend all that money on a wedding that you know you're going to walk away from rather than saying what you need, which is maybe not to marry the person. But again, your choice, you know. So, and I have a lot of people feeling like they have to make a decision, and then the minute they make it, going, oh, man, I don't want to make that decision. And I'm like, just move towards what you're trying to get and see what happens. Don't feel you have to.
What does that mean? Like, for instance?
A woman getting involved with a guy that's getting divorced, so he's not really ready for it.
No, but you're saying move towards what you want to get? What would, like, give me an example of what somebody might want to get.
Well, she wants a she wants a relationship with this guy, right? And
that's
has one.
Something very specific.
Very specific. She wants. She thinks he's the man of her dreams. You know, loves him madly, wants him. And he has been going through a divorce, and so he was talking to her about his problems. And she said, you know, I really don't want to be your therapist in this. I'm willing to be your friend. I'm willing to be your girlfriend, but I don't want to be your therapist. So that kind of shut down communication because he didn't realize that's what he was using her for, what she perceived. So they reestablished communication, and then she said to him, you know, I really like you. And he goes, I really like you too, but I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I got all this stuff on my plate. What I can offer you is this. And she's like, I can't be your friend. And so she ended the relationship. And I'm like, He's telling you what he can give you. You know, and you're sitting feeling, you know, that's what he can offer you right now. You think this guy's worth investing in. You really care for him. You know, and you know he's got his life is a mess. He's getting divorced. The kids are a wreck. His business is having trouble, you know, like, cut him a break a little. Be his, you know, through thick and thin. But if you're not getting what you want, you're going to end it? Like, think about that. Is that really what? Because then she's, like, all over the place. Like, I don't want it. And I'm like, you got to focus on, you got to hear the person.
Well,
and
she's
then you
not,
see where you are. Huh?
I don't
yeah,
think
she's
that
what?
She's, I don't think she's given an honest answer. If what you said, like I said, what is it that she wants? And you said she wants a relationship with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a truthful answer.
Okay.
So she's not making progress. So the art is in crafting the question.
Right.
The answer, from what you've told me, and I don't know these people, is she wants a relationship with this guy on her terms.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
he's saying to her, I can't meet those terms right now.
Well, he's saying, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being as honest with you as I know how to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like somebody I'd want to be in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't
he's
know
a great guy.
Necessarily what the form of it would eventually take.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. Somebody who comes to an awareness that they're not, and doesn't, you know, phone it in,
mm-hmm.
who seems authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And if she goes, well, I need it to look this way, then she's either going to be extraordinarily lucky or with somebody who needs to be controlled, and then that's kind of like being in a relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the other person's not, they're just like an object for you.
Right. Right.
So really interesting stuff comes up around all this.
For all of us, because this
is
the Leo North Node. It's your heart path. What does your heart want? And then looking at what your heart wants and talking to it and discerning it and listen, you know, in my case, listening to it. And when people go, tell me what to do, I'm like, no, not my job. Because I know I'm really, you know, that's, you know, I am a little bossy and I do come across authoritarianish on occasion, but I also try and completely respect my job is to not be their Saturn, not to be their decision maker. But it's also about understanding that the process, and I know I've been doing a lot of my own stuff. I've been working a lot on family karma stuff, unraveling it from that workshop I did in Rhinebeck when we saw each other. And what we pull in and why we have it and then what its contribution to our life is. And then once we're clear on all that, then we're able to figure out what we want the next thing to do because we're operating from a place of consciousness instead of from a place of just reacting, which I've been saying to clients, sit and be curious, see what's going on. Don't go jumping into, and also Mercury's retrograde. So everybody's nobody's really hearing it correctly. They're going to hear it, and then there's like some kind of communication thing that is allowing us to hop, or perhaps even encouraging us to hop. I mean, I was completely, my ice box defrosted, and I got a lot of crap because I'm getting those CSAs, and I've been traveling on the weekend, so I haven't been eating all the vegetables, so I've been throwing them in the freezer. So I open the freezer, and the ice is soft, and the sausage is soft. I'm like, oh, my God, my freezer broke. Oh, wow. You know, and I completely panic, and I get on looking at Home Depot, looking at refrigerators. Do I have to order one and get it in here tomorrow? And da-da-da-da-da. Find the user manual, and then it says, adjusting the temperature. And I went, So I went and looked and tweaked the temperature, and lo and behold, everything froze. Plus, I made sure the gaskets were all sealed and closed because I'd never had that happen. But I was like, oh, my refrigerator's not broken, but it's asking me to look at the load it's carrying and maybe throw away some of the shit in. And also, don't go buying a new refrigerator before you know the other one's dead.
Well, so it's giving you an opportunity.
Yeah.
To notice that out of the gate, you have a huge reaction.
Yes.
And to not let that guide your actions.
Right.
So a lot of people, including myself, blame ourselves for that huge reaction.
Right.
Other people get frightened by it and attack.
Yep.
It's just a reaction. It's just energy.
Right.
And it's happening to an awful lot of people because we are so full.
Yes.
So I now make room for all of these big reactions. I had one this morning. I can't remember what it was, which is good. And I just watched it. And I went, this is meaningless. You know, it was like I was able to categorize it as opposed to even needing to focus in on it. And as soon as I said it's meaningless, it went away.
Right.
Most of them aren't that easy to get rid of, and I have to really, like, just sit with it. But it gave me a chance to be kind to myself and go, it's one more thing. You know, and
on a very full plate.
And that one more thing gave me a chance to be kind to myself and go, you're really doing a very good job under very difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know,
I'm
proud
of you. Congratulations.
Yeah. And
give yourself self-love.
Well, and just, like, don't and pay attention to whether something's necessary or not,
right,
because it's all a lot. I mean, when I arrived home this past week, it was the internet and all of that stuff. And I went, I can't deal with this. And it's just very clear, I cannot deal with it. I'm here until Tuesday. My cell phone works. And I gave myself permission to not engage with it. I didn't have it in me.
Right.
So, and then as things evolved, it got, like, more constricted. And I finally reached out and asked Rachel if she would, in the next month, have an opportunity to deal with it. And she is and did.
Oh, good. She did already.
But I had to be, yeah, it's done. But I had to be willing to accept defeat. Like this, I can't do.
Right.
There was something similar with some complicated banking thing. And I didn't understand it at all. I don't understand money, really. And I had to, and it involved a lawyer, it involved business people, it involved me. And the broker. No one was helping me, really. And it turned out I had to have a conversation with the company, like the annuity company or something. And I asked the business manager, I said, will you be on the call with me? And he said, if you need me to be. And that gave me enough space so that in the next half hour, I was able to give it a shot myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited for 20 minutes. The person who answered was whatever. And she needed a piece of information from me that I didn't have accessible, and she wanted me to hang up, find it, and call back. And I went, no, I waited for 20 minutes. You're going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually found it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've got patience. You know, I don't have time to do that again. I'm sorry, and I apologize, but I didn't know that because my question had nothing specific to do with our situation. It was a general question. I didn't know you'd need this.
Right.
I thought you were going to need, you know, the information I already gave you.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally found it, and then she turned me on to somebody really nice
mm-hmm.
who helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the questions I needed answers to, I got the same answer from both people.
Right.
And then I was able to, I noticed that I didn't trust it, and I went, how could you trust anything considering what you've been through? You know? So that meant, how did that go? It meant you write a cover letter along with what you're sending in,
mm-hmm.
reiterating
mm-hmm.
what you were told.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then it's there in writing. It's not a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And
a piece of paper they got a hand.
Yep, and that got sent in.
Cool.
And I gave them, and I read very carefully, you know, like the fine print on this contract, and supplied them with extra stuff because they said we might need more information, so I gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's taken care of. So I've done everything I could, and I was I was pleased that I took one thing off the business manager's plate because I feel like I've been their full-time occupation. And here I was less dysfunctional than I thought. Did I feel proud of myself? No, I feel sick to my stomach that I have to deal with this kind of crap, and I can't believe this kind of crap exists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did it.
Right. Right. Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
and it's your inferior, as the union say, it's your inferior function. By using it, it led to a growth experience. And a lot of times when we have that function that doesn't work the way all of our other functions do, we go, oh. But you went right with it. You worked it. You held it. You held its hand. And as all of our inferior functions get triggered by the eclipses this next week, it's a big emotional energy, okay? So
yeah, and I think that the key things for me to take away that I'm able to make use of are that I drew a boundary that I stuck with, which is, no, I'm not calling you back. You're waiting with me,
mm-hmm.
period. took her back, but she did. So
she
I
did,
noticed,
right?
Yes, I noticed mm-hmm. that she did it.
Right.
That it led to a resolution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That I'm incredibly grateful that my life does not include this stuff generally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That this is not the world I want to live in.
Right.
And don't. So I'm very lucky. And that for the first time I thought I may be approaching the summit of this mountain of shit I've been navigating through. And that I have absolutely no idea what follows it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that starts to help me prepare myself for I don't know what I want, which is
right.
The truth. If somebody said, what do you want? I go,
mm-hmm.
I haven't been relevant in 40 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I mean, occasionally stuff has come up, and I've been like, absolutely, I'm in on this.
A house in Hudson. I want a house in Hudson. But, you know,
well,
basically, it's been a good life, yeah.
Yeah, or I want to learn this particular way of working with couples because I believe in it and it helps people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where I can be helpful.
Right.
You know, like, period. And I don't care what I have to do in order to get in there. But a lot of times it's, I would really like to get involved with this, and I get a no.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't for you.
Okay.
And I trust that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a lot of, I just don't know right now. And for people who have a hard time with that, and there are a lot of them, then I would look at Pema Chodron's Comfortable with Uncertainty.
Right.
Because the I don't know is not a negative thing. The I don't know, if you really tap into the core of it, puts you in a place where you're not necessarily bound by anything you have ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have something entirely new and magical happen.
Yeah.
Whereas if you pushed it before it appeared, you would be limited to the things that you were already aware of, none of which seemed to be doing it for you.
Right. Right.
So I don't know isn't a positive or a negative. It's just an I don't know.
It's just a space. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not very comfortable.
No. Not comfortable at all.
No, and the fear is, for me anyway, that nothing will ever appear. It'll just be empty.
Yeah, yeah. But we know nature abhors a vacuum. Stuff always.
I know. I've heard that.
But not always the stuff you want.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure.
So
that,
if something shows up you don't like, unless you're really, really hungry and you have to have lunch, and it's peanut butter on rice cake, you go, all right, I'll have peanut butter on a rice cake. But if there's some cauliflower that looks delicious, go for that. So.
But generally, you get to choose in each moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think they're going to tell us to get off, but the,
Charity did.
Oh, for these, all these couples, there's something called Hold Me Tight Workshops.
Hold Me Tight Workshops. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which you can look up.
Mm-hmm.
They have them around the country. It's, I think, a Friday night and Saturday. It's based on Sue Johnson's work. Highly recommend them for couples.
Okay, cool.
And if you don't want to...
Hold Me Tight.
Yeah, and there's also a book and a workbook. And, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. But the workshops I hear are... amazing. And I've heard it from very senior therapists who've gone with their spouse who are in happy marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tool for people. Hold Me Tight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
All right.
Cool. All right, darling. Big hugs. Now, next week I'm flying on Thursday.
Okay.
So we have to either do it Wednesday or some other time or Friday.
I'm flying right now.
Huh? You're flying right now?
I'm teasing.
I heard the bird before.
Yeah,
I know where you are. But you can be flying. You know, you can be jumping off the stairs down to the lower next level.
So let's,
he has stairs in that house.
Let's organize that, but maybe Wednesday morning's good.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. We'll
okay, at 10?
Yeah, Wednesday at 10 is great.
Okay.
All right, so we'll talk to you all next week, Wednesday at 10. In the meantime, you have great eclipses. You heard how the energy is. Hang in there. You're going to be fine. And you do come out the other side. That's the nice part about eclipses.
And
you
we're
come
all
out
in
with
it.
An aha moment. Yeah, we're all in the middle of it, you know, so everybody else is having one too. So if they're a little crazy, just go, oh, they're having an eclipse. Okay. So.
All right.
And that be all. Big hugs, Michael. Lots of love.
To you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.